This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Bill Radke. There will be a time, could be tomorrow, could be 100 years from now, when the ground beneath us will start to shake violently. So hard it's going to bring you to your knees if you're standing. Buildings will crumble. Roads will be destroyed. And then a 60-foot wall of water will crash onto the Washington coastline. The West Coast is a ticking time bomb. The big earthquake will come. Will you be ready? Well, you could, says my next guest. Dr. Lucy Jones is the author of the new book, The Big Ones. I think she's America's most famous seismologist. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, you were in a Jeopardy question.
Yeah, that's actually happened twice. I'm still...
Twice?
Still can't quite believe it.
How was that? I know about one of them. What were the Jeopardy... I guess you were a Jeopardy answer.
I was a Jeopardy answer. There was one about the movie The Rock, with The Rock, the San Andreas movie.
Yes.
And it was something about Paul Giamatti and I can't even remember now what the question was.
I can quote it. Seismologist Lucy Jones found fault with this film, saying you can't predict quakes as Paul Giamatti's character does.
There you go.
Answer San Andreas.
The San Andreas. That movie was,
It played fast and loose.
It had some good messages about emergency response and how you plan. The science was non-existent.
Uh-huh. This is a scientist I'm talking to, a seismologist, and you write that natural disasters stem from the same forces that give our planet life. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, to live in this world, we need to have the carbon cycle, we need to have the water cycle, we need to have rain coming in and watering our plants. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, that also leads to occasional floods. Mm. We need to keep nutrients in the soil. One of the things the volcanoes give you are wonderful soils that are very good for producing crops. Unfortunately, they also occasionally erupt.
We have good farmland here partly because of that history, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the Pacific Northwest is sort of archetypal natural hazards land. You've got these beautiful mountains, which give you landslides. You have the slush forest because of all the rain and therefore all the flooding. You have the tsunami and the earthquake and the volcano. I mean, we're really rather impressed and elsewhere in the world at how you bring it all together. And it is why it's so beautiful here.
Yes.
It's absolutely part and parcel of the whole thing. And so it's just that all of these systems that move things around the earth and make life possible have extremes. And anytime you have a river, you've also got floods. Anytime you have a volcano, you have eruptions. And we've got to think of it. I think the difference here is that I'm an earth scientist. So I can talk about 10,000 years as recent, and it is recent. It's normal, right?
Yes.
I think on a different time scale than most people do.
Yeah. How does your thoughtful perspective help me when the ground is shaking like crazy?
Well, it helps you understand that this is just a natural process and you could have done something. Maybe it doesn't help you if you haven't done it before. Beforehand, it can help you realize that it's worthwhile doing this stuff. But human beings don't want to go there. We're so afraid of the random out of the blue hit that we obsess about it. So when people think about the big earthquake coming, what are they thinking of? They're afraid of dying.
Yeah.
Right?
That's on my list of fears.
Yeah. But, I mean, even in Pompeii, 90% of the victims made it out alive. Right?
Pompeii, this is about about the year zero, right?
Right. In
Italy.
79, Vesuvius erupts.
Yeah.
The town's completely buried. The whole city leaves human knowledge for 1,500 years. But 90% of the victims still got out alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just probably not going to die.
Hmm.
What's really at risk is our societies. What sort of a city will Seattle be after that big earthquake comes through and the tsunami hits? And number one, we've done such economic damage to our buildings. You know, we have buildings we know will fall down. And I understand that you guys are debating whether or not to try and deal with the unreinforced.
For years, Dr. Jones, Seattle and Washington State, we've been debating and debating and debating.
And they will kill people when the earthquake hits. Absolute. No question about it.
The former King County Emergency Management Director says our buildings are so dangerous and have been for so long that when an earthquake kills people, everyone involved in not taking action should be charged with manslaughter.
That's an extreme way of looking at it, but yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is we know, and you are choosing not to do anything about it because you're so obsessed about that time. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Is it 100 years? That that becomes the only thing we think about.
I thought we were obsessed with money because we, I mean, isn't that a big part of it? We talk about mandating these seismic retrofits, but the question has been, who's going to pay for that?
The problem is it's an obsession with the short-term money. In the long run, you will save money by doing the retrofitting. There have been studies that show we save $6 for every dollar spent on retrofitting in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. We aren't willing to give it that time. And that's where I'm saying the geologic perspective. I look at this and just can't understand it.
I see.
It's absolutely inevitable. One of the problems, I think, you know, when we talk about the earthquake, you'll hear, you know, the chance of it happening in the next 30 years is 10%, 15%, whatever it is for up here. And it sounds, you know, if you heard that there was a 15% chance of rain today and then it didn't happen, well, all right, the risk is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in Seattle. In Southern California, we're sure, okay, now it's over, right?
Yeah.
And we use that same words. The problem is it's not that we know anything about 30 years. We use 30-year probabilities because that's the length of most people's mortgages and therefore a time frame in which they're making financial decisions. What we know is the earthquake is absolutely 100% certain to happen as long as you give me enough time.
Well, yeah, but that's a pretty hugely important variable. I sleep well because of that variable.
yeah, but I wouldn't sleep well in an unreinforced masonry building.
Well, actually, in Seattle, I wonder how do you think we're how worried should we be about an earthquake in Seattle? Assuming I'm home, I'm not sleeping on an ocean beach.
It is in the lifetime of most of your younger listeners, it will be happening.
Yeah.
In their lifetime. You know, once or twice every 50 years, that's not that often compared to other things, but we can tell you what's going to happen because of it.
Are we talking about something much worse than the 2001 Nisqually quake? I remember. I was there. And it was, you know, I got a crack in my wall and it shook me around. And
That was what I was talking about. It depends. What it's like, though, depends on where you are with respect to the earthquake. How close were you to where the earthquake happened? I mean, if you're right on top of it, it's going to be quite a bit worse than some distance away.
Right, right. I suppose I was about somewhere under an hour away from the center of
it. Then you were so far away that you really shouldn't be having any damage whatsoever. And if you do, that implies your building isn't in great shape.
You said that we're don't think of it as you're going to die, right?
Right.
Why is that? Why isn't it good to think, uh-oh, I'm going to die if I don't do all the right things?
Well, it's just, I can see I'm a scientist. It may be successfully manipulating you, but it isn't true.
Hmm.
You know, most people, are even, you know, in Southern California, we estimate 99.99% of people will live through our big earthquake. Now, you are far more likely here, as well as in L.A., to be killed on the freeway. You're more likely to be murdered, quite a bit more likely to be murdered than you are to die in the earthquake.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, it's a wonderful part of American life. But and the problem is, if we're focusing on that, we can't seem to focus on the money aspect. You really should be worried about being bankrupted by the earthquake. Because if you've now lost your house and the building where you're going to work is badly enough damaged that they won't let you in, and the water pipes are disrupted and the sewers are disrupted, how many people stay when they haven't had a shower in a month?
Yeah.
And then the city, what's at risk is not our lives, it's our society.
What do you mean by that?
Meaning that the cities will struggle to survive through this. You can look at San Francisco in 1906. It was many, many decades before it got back any of the standing that it had had before. I mean, in 1905, San Francisco was the New York of the West Coast, the only one that mattered.
Mm-hmm.
The decade after 1906 is the biggest growth decade in the history of Los Angeles. We were 1/5 the size of San Francisco before that earthquake, and we're now 5 times the size of San Francisco. And so there are fundamental shifts like that. Or think of Portugal. One of the stories in my book is of the Lisbon earthquake of 1755. When that earthquake happened, Portugal was a major colonial power. It had Brazil. It was very rich. It was set back enough by that basically they never recovered. And Portugal is not a significant city, you know, in the or state in Europe, and it lost its colonial standing because of all of this.
Maybe they were punished for being colonizers.
Well, at the time, we definitely believed that it was God's wrath that was why the earthquakes were happening.
The book that you mentioned is called Big Ones, How Natural Disasters Have Shaped Us and What We Can Do About Them, and the author is Dr. Lucy Jones. And we would have plenty of warning before a Mount Rainier eruption, right? I don't worry about that one.
Okay, because so there's where you're focused on your life safety issues. Yes, you will probably have a warning. I do say probably. You remember Mount St. Helens in 1980? We had 3 months where it was obvious that it was undergoing unrest,
steaming.
Right, and the magma was moving from deep in the earth to closer to the surface. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that unrest will just stop and you don't have the eruption. So we will have a warning, but we won't have a 100% certainty warning.
So we'll just figure,
it depends on how you respond. I mean, people were still living there near Mount St. Helens and died in that eruption because they didn't listen about leaving.
Mm. Hey, a listener named Josh here in the U District where you are right now wrote to us and asks, I'm wondering if the Space Needle is the safest place to be in Seattle during an earthquake. Space Needle.
I don't know why
the Space Needle would be the safest place.
I cannot imagine.
Maybe he thinks it'll sway, like the Earth will be freaking out underneath it, and it'll just wave a little bit.
There's a couple of things. One is that we need to remember that
nothing's fallen on top of you if you're in the Space Needle.
It was built before you had significant seismic building codes in Washington.
Okay.
And that's a major issue. Right? Your building is only as good as the building code in place when it was built and the degree to which it was enforced. And even our current code doesn't say, let's have a good building. It says, don't kill me. Mm. So if the building's a total financial loss, but you crawl out alive, that was a success.
That's a win.
And there's where I worry about the economic issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because imagine now the new buildings in Seattle. Maybe 10, 20% of them are so badly damaged you aren't allowed to use them. What's your economic outcome then?
Dr. Lucy Jones, you live in Southern California.
I do.
Earthquake country. So how woke are you?
I would
rather choose to stay there.
I choose to stay there. There's a few reasons because just like everybody else, I have other factors that go into my decisions. I have a good job there. My family's, I'm a fourth generation Southern Californian. I like the sunshine. But also, it's just not that big a risk to my life.
What's your house like? Do you have walls made entirely of plastic water bottles?
Oh, that's an idea. No, I have a 1948 house, but every time I've bought a house, I've brought in a foundation specialist to look at it and help me understand if there's anything we could do to make it safer.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a little extra work. I think we spent about $200 on this house, but it made it got rid of a vulnerability.
You actually wrote that water bottles are a little overrated.
Well,
You just in terms of you think that's going to help you out? There's other things you could
do? All right. I would not say don't get water bottles because we are going to lose our water system.
Yeah.
And that's actually a really critical one. But if I had to choose between storing water and getting my house retrofitted, I'd get my house retrofitted.
Make the pipes flexible and strong and
that's
the water.
I mean, this is one of the things that's happening in Los Angeles. I spent the year of 2014 in the mayor's office, and together we developed a set of plans for how to make us more seismic resilient. And it ended up passing all the things that required ordinances passed unanimously through city council. We got it through. One piece of it is a overhaul of the water system in Los Angeles. It's a very long-term effort because the water system is very expensive, but the city has made a commitment to seismic-resistant pipes, which is going to make that probably, if I only got one thing, that's what I'd want because that's the economic future of the city after the earthquake happens.
We're talking with earth scientist, seismologist Dr. Lucy Jones. The mayor of L.A. said when the big one hits, people will be alive because of the work she has done to prepare. One thing about natural disasters, doctor, they're very localized. A Texas hurricane and a Philippines typhoon don't physically affect me. Will climate change be a disaster that actually unites us?
Hopefully, because climate change, number one, absolutely happening. Number two, it is increased heat in the atmosphere. Heat is energy. The atmosphere now has more energy to contribute to storms. The rate and intensity of our big storms are all going up. And So we are going to be seeing more damage from hurricanes, from tornadoes, from typhoons, from extreme storms, from atmospheric rivers. The rate of all of these are going up, and they're going to be affecting all of us. There's also another big change in the world, though, of globalization. Right? We are much more interconnected than we used to be. Even, you know, whatever the economic system, we have the telecommunications. When the tsunami hit Japan, we all watched it in real time move over the Sendai Plain. Right? So we have a more visceral connection to people around the world. And that's the good part. It means that we are able to feel connected to the victims and have more empathy. And it helps us take our risks more seriously. Americans are much more concerned about tsunamis now because of what they saw happening in Japan and Sumatra. The bad side is we're also more economically and even physically connected. We have concentrated into cities. These cities are dependent on complex engineering systems. Systems fail where they're already weak. And anything less than the perfect system is a vulnerability. So I talked about the loss of water pipes or of sewers. You know, when that happened in 1906, in that earthquake in San Francisco, people built outhouses in their backyards and went on.
Mm-hmm.
We lose the sewer system now. It is a major public health crisis for a city. But then the third piece is our economies are connected now, too. So that if we really wipe out the, chip production in Taiwan, it's going to be affecting the economy of anywhere, of Silicon Valley, Silicon Beach, all of the electronic high-tech companies, and we're all going to be struggling with that. So globalization is, as I think, better for human society. It's better for our ethical development, but it means that we are collectively more at risk from everybody's disasters.
She has written about disasters ethically, socially, economically, physically. She's an earth scientist, seismologist, Dr. Lucy Jones, author of the new book, Big Ones, How Natural Disasters Have Shaped Us and What We Can Do About Them. And the proper pronunciation, tsunami. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Dr. Jones, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks for writing this and coming in.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Record on KUOW Seattle. Back in just a moment.